I'd like to welcome everyone out to the service this morning, and we welcome as our preacher this morning the Reverend Kieran Salt, who is the minister of Achillea Free Presbyterian Church. Remember the evening service at 7 p.m, preceded by a time of prayer from 6:30, and the preacher this evening will be Mr. Samuel Fitton, who is a licentiate minister. And the singers at the evening service will be the Bowden sisters from Cookstown Free Presbyterian Church. The children's meeting is tomorrow, Monday night, at 7 p.m. And Thursday night, the midweek meeting is a deputation meeting for Let the Bible Speak. And the Reverend Julian Patterson from Ballymead Gurney will be along to take that meeting. Next Lord's Day, the morning service at 11:30. And the preacher will be the Reverend Graham Lucas, who is the minister of Garva Free Presbyterian Church. And the evening service is a special testimony meeting with Mrs. Vi Dawson, and the Reverend Leckie hopes to be along to lead that meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Jarvis, for the words of welcome to Six Men Across. We're glad to be with you today. We're going to commence our worship by turning together to the hymn number 16, please, on page 181. Abba Father, we approach thee in our Saviour's precious name. Hymn number 16, and we'll stand together, please, as we sing. Thank you. Could we just unite our hearts together in prayer as we look to the Lord, please, for his blessing today. It's great to be here in God's house, but we need his presence, him to come and to minister to our needs, whatever that need might be this morning. Our Father and our eternal God in heaven, we do thank you for the opportunity to come individually and yet collectively before thee this morning in the worthy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is the only Saviour of fallen mankind. And Father, today as we come to thee, it is with hearts full of gratitude for all that the Lord has done for us. Thank you, Lord, that when we look back to what we were, we can say that God has brought us into his banqueting house and his banner over us is love. And Father, we do thank thee for that time when we were able to come just as we were, when we heard that effectual call of God, when God granted to us repentance unto life and we were born anew. And we thank you, Lord, for that work that has been wrought in our hearts. Lord, we thank thee today too for God's grace and goodness and presence and power that we have enjoyed since then. Do thank you, Lord, that we can say with the words of a hymn that he giveth and giveth and giveth again. And Father, today as we come together, we believe that we do so in obedience to thy word, that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And Lord, we thank you for the warmth that we can enjoy as we meet with those of like precious faith. And Lord, we ask just now that the Lord would draw near to each person that's gathered in. We do pray that you would undertake, Lord, to meet every need. Lord, there are needs that perhaps are known to many. And then there are those needs that no one else, only the Lord, knows about. And Father, today we thank thee that we are before one who knows the end from the beginning. And Lord, we do pray today that you would come and that you would uplift our spirits. Lord, we look around us. There is so much that would have us cast down. We see, Lord, indifference to thy word. We see wickedness seeming to do so well. And yet, Lord, we thank thee today that we are looking to one who's sovereign in the affairs of men. And Lord, we pray that you would come and strengthen us in our walk with thee. We do remember every family that is represented and all the various needs that come with family life. Remember young people, Lord, out in school and in university and employment. We pray for them that the Lord would make a way for them, that even in these difficult days, that they might continually look to him and know that still small voice to say to them, this is the way, walk ye in it. We ask, Lord, that you'd save them from the pitfalls and snares that are so prevalent these days. And we ask, Lord, that you might continue to encourage the youth connected with the congregation here. We do remember the children, those who are reached through the children's meeting. We ask that the Lord would be pleased when they're young, that every one of them would be saved. And Lord, that they might have that testimony to God's keeping, saving and keeping power. We do ask for those who are working. We pray for those in hospitals, those who are involved with healthcare and are out today looking after people. We ask, Lord, you'd encourage them as well and that you would grant it to them wherever they are, their portion of the Lord's blessing. We do pray too for those who are sick and maybe shut in, maybe some that haven't been able to be out to God's house for a while. Now, we do pray that the Lord would draw near and that he would minister to them in a special way. And even in their relative loneliness, that they might be aware that the Lord is there and that to bless them. And Father, again, we do pray today for the gospel meeting tonight. We ask that the Lord would bless his word. Thank you, Lord, for people who are willing to come along to church, that are not, people who are not saved. And yet, Lord, we ask that even this day, that they might consider well their own personal need and they might come to know him whom to know is life eternal. Do bless in all our churches. We pray for all of our licentiates and our students and our ministers and laymen, that thy word today, Lord, might find a highway prepared by the Lord into the hearts of needy men and women. And Father, do bless, Lord, right across our land and turn it to the Lord once more. How we need an outpouring of thy Holy Spirit. And Lord, we pray that revival might come soon. Lord, that you'd even begin it in our hearts here today. We do ask for all the various aspects of our denomination's work. Pray you bless and let the Bible speak ministry and all associated with it. And Father, for all on the mission field and Lord, all who are seeking to go work as missionaries here at home too, that the Lord would meet every need in these days. Bless those who sing for the Lord today, for those who will give their testimony. We pray that we might hear good news of some people here and there coming and trusting the Lord. So, Lord, we thank you for thy day, for this one day that God has set aside for the praise and adoration and worship of his name. And, Father, it is our prayer just now that you would be with us here. Shut us in with thyself. Encourage our hearts. For we ask these things in our Saviour's name. Amen. Could we turn, please, to another hymn? It's 431. 431, please. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. And we'll stand again, please, as we sing. Kirby, turn together, please, in our Bibles to the book of Isaiah and chapter 33. Isaiah chapter 33. I'm going to read some verses there together just now. Isaiah chapter 33, and we'll read from the opening verse of the chapter. Woe to thee that spoilest, and thou wast not spoiled, and dealest treacherously, and they dealt not treacherously with thee. When thou shalt cease to spoil, thou shalt be spoiled. And when thou shalt make an end to deal treacherously, they shall deal treacherously with thee. O Lord, be gracious unto us. We have waited for thee. Be thou their arm every morning, our salvation also in the time of trouble. At the noise of the tumult, the people fled. At the lifting up of thyself, the nations were scattered. And your spoil shall be gathered like the gathering of the caterpillar, as the running to and fro of locusts shall he run upon them. The Lord is exalted, for he dwelleth on high. He hath filled Zion with judgment and righteousness. We'll end our reading there, a short reading this morning, His precious word. We trust the Lord will bless His word to all of our hearts. Well, could I add myself a word of welcome to that which you've already received from Mr. Jarvis. Thank you for coming along this morning when I'm here. It's nice to be back with you in Six Mile Cross. See one or two familiar faces, young ones and ones not just as young, but we're glad to see you all. And we trust that the Lord will continue to bless you here up on Six Mile Cross. I'd sort of forgotten until last week just how far away really it was up to here. I was coming up, I was up last week at this, some of you have probably heard it, called Yerbal Shinney Lodge, down there near Beira. And I come up and I couldn't find it. And then I asked two different people and I still couldn't find it. And then eventually I did find it. And then when I went home and told my wife, she couldn't believe it. She's from Derryfubble in Tyrone. And she says, how could you possibly get lost in Tyrone? You couldn't get lost in Tyrone at all. But I did. But I eventually found it, and I found here today as well. We're glad to be with you. We trust the Lord will bless you as a congregation as you seek to make a difference around here, that He will meet your every need. These are not easy days anywhere. We're very, very thankful for every indication of God's favour and goodness that we do receive, and for the tokens for good that we have. We trust that the Lord will give you many encouragements in the days that lie ahead, and that around this part of the world, that many will be brought to Christ through your ministry, and that He will strengthen you as well here and encourage you much in the work that you are involved in. That's really all I want to say, and we're going to have another hymn now, and we'll keep our seats this time. It's 382. 382. Who can cheer the heart like Jesus by His presence all divine? We'll keep our seats, please, initially, while the stewards wait upon you for your tithes and offerings at this time. Stand, please, for the remainder of the hymn.
Every need is satisfied, every good and pure.
forgot to say to you there that we did have a former Six Mile Cross person taking part in our youth rally last Sunday evening. Mr. Stephen Anderson was there to sing. He sang very well indeed. And if I'm not wrong, we had one or two of you young people down as well in Achillea. We hope you enjoyed it as much as the rest of them did there. We're turning back again to Isaiah chapter 33, please, where we read earlier. And with our Bibles open, could we just look to the Lord together in prayer, trusting that he will come alongside and that he will meet our need in some degree today, whatever that need might be. Father in heaven, we do thank you that we can look to thee. We do rejoice, Lord, in thy word. Thank you, Lord, that it is a lamp to your feet and a light to our path continually. And Lord, we pray now as we look at it together that it might come, Lord, with freshness, with personal relevance and up-to-date relevance to all who will listen, whether gathered here in the assembly or listening from home. We do pray that the word, Lord, might be used of thee to meet the need of thy people, that we might hear thy speaking voice. And Father, therefore, we look to thee now to grant help in preaching as well. For we ask these things for Christ's eternal glory. Amen. The chapter that we read from this morning relates to a very distressing period in the experience of Judah and Jerusalem. Their trouble came from the hand of one I'm sure you've all heard of called Sennacherib. It was his second unprovoked campaign that he had embarked upon, and he brought injury and trouble and displayed, as the Assyrians continued to do for so long, he had displayed violence and deceitfulness and every kind of opportunity, however twisted it might have been, that come his way, he used it to seek to further himself. And folks, it's always good to remember that history records that sometimes God rewards such people in their own coin. And things turn around. And in the verses we read at the beginning of this chapter, it is evident that there will be trouble for those who have been the troublemakers. It will come back on them. And in verse 3, at the very beginning, you see here that the people pray well. Generally speaking here, the people pray well when they ask the Lord to bless them and to be with them. But they also pray very well when they ask the Lord to undertake for those who will be in the front line for them. And these are the words that I'm drawing your attention to this morning in verse 2. Be thou their arm every morning. Be thou their arm every morning. The men who were involved there, or the ladies, they would continually need supplies of strength. And as someone asked this morning in the prayer meeting for courage, they would need courage as well. And each day they would go out, they would have many difficulties to encounter as they sought to do what they could for the people here in very difficult times. They would need help beyond what flesh and blood could supply. And without the Lord's assistance, there's no question but they would have become undone. Well, that prayer was answered, and deliverance came swiftly for them. And folks, you and I, as we seek to walk with God, another name for our walk with God is spiritual warfare. And that really is what every Christian is involved in. And we have proved very often the insufficiency of ourselves. But we can pray one for another. And as we come toward the end of another year and look out with anticipation to 2024, while we have much to be thankful for, and we can say that there are those who have meant a great deal to us in the work of God through what they have tried to do, we must have the Lord's arm. And we can pray the one for another, be thou their arm every morning. And it was when God comes along and gives enablement to those who are seeking to do his bidding, it is then that we experience his power and that maybe we're able to make a difference wherever we're seeking to labor for him. Over in the book of Genesis there, and in Genesis chapter 49, you have an illustration of what I've been talking about. It is here where Jacob has been speaking to his sons regarding those who would come after and how it would be with them. And he says in verse 22 of Genesis 49, Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. And then he says, the archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him, but his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. What you're reading there is a description of how young men were taught archery. And you had a young boy, and then you had a man who was well used to archery, and he would put his hands over the hands of the young boy who was holding the bow and enable him to draw the bow and to fire the bow. And while the young fellow may not have been able to draw the bow fully himself, the older man putting his hands over his hands made his hands strong and enabled him. And that is exactly what we're looking for whenever we seek to pray, seek the Lord on behalf of others, and we say, be thou their arm every morning. And I hope as we look at this morning together, it's good for any time, I trust, but as we come towards the end of this year and we're thinking about maybe what the Lord could do next year, I trust that what we say will be of benefit to you. So we're looking this morning, the title is Getting God's Arm. Getting God's Arm. I want you to notice, first of all, the importance of getting God's steadying arm. Getting God's steadying arm. Pressures are never far away. And as you go through life, sometimes they seem to increase. And those pressures, I'm not saying that this is a negative thing, but those pressures, they often urge us to turn to the Lord for help. There could be that tendency within us to think, well, I can go on and I just get on with it because I've done it before and I can do it again. And then we realize suddenly that we must have help from heaven to do whatever we're seeking to do. And we are acutely aware that we must have his arm to lean on. And I don't think there's anyone here who needs me to really remind them that for the evangelical church, even in Northern Ireland with all its benefits, for the evangelical church today, in many respects, these are difficult enough times. It's hard to make an impact. It's very difficult to gain new ground. And it's sometimes very hard just to hold our own. And we need the Lord continually. But there's a lovely verse over there in Song of Solomon in chapter 8. And it's verse 5. You will be aware that in the Song of Solomon, we're seeing the bride, that is the church, and the heavenly bridegroom, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says there in verse 5 of chapter 8 in Song of Solomon, who is this that cometh up from the wilderness? So they're progressing. They're coming away from that which is barren, that which is dry, that which doesn't really hold anything that is good for them. Who is this that cometh up? They're coming up from there, from the wilderness. And then it says, leaning upon her beloved. And what a beautiful picture of the church of Christ coming out of a time of barrenness, leaning upon the Lord Jesus Christ. The word leaning there is a word which literally means to strengthen yourself upon. And that is what we do when we lean upon him. And I'm sure, Christian, you're doing it today like we all are. And as we pray for each other, you pray for your ministers, pray for your oversight, pray for one another in the church. And in a smaller congregation, very often we're more aware of what the needs are with the other families there and the other individuals, and we can pray one for another that they will have the Lord's arm, the Lord's steadying arm in these days, days of instability. Just speaking to one or two of the brethren earlier on, and overall, things have never really been quite the same since the COVID time, and it has had a detrimental effect on some areas of God's work, and it's affected some people, unfortunately, and therefore in the work, we're continually leaning upon him. And when you look around us, it's not like a wilderness. And there's barrenness and dryness on every hand. We're so glad we can lean upon him. In the Psalm number 17 and the verse 5, again, the psalmist here is referring to leaning on the Lord. It says, "Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not." Like you and like me, he wanted to be active, he wanted to be advancing, but he needs the Lord to lean upon, the Lord to hold him up, as he says here. We think here that this is the language of conviction. He knows he could slip, and he knows the effect that that could have upon those perhaps who were weak. He knows how it could distress those who seem to be strong. He knows how it could affect his own usefulness. So he's doing the right thing and saying, "Lord, just make sure I don't slip. My feet don't slip." It's the language of conviction. It's also the language of apprehension, because he's seen others slip. And when you see that, it makes you take a real good look at yourself. And again, flee to the Lord for help. But it's the language of confidence. And he's saying here, as I mentioned, "Hold up my goings. Lord, I want to be leaning upon thee." There's another place in the Psalms. It's Psalm 119. Psalm 119 and verse 117. If you have a Bible where you have the little Hebrew words or Hebrew letters there at each section of this psalm, you will see that at the start, just before verse 113, there is the little word there, samach, the Hebrew word samach, and it actually means "hold thou me up." That's what it means. And we have it there in that section in verse 117, "Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe." Maybe you're like me, and sometimes your weakness surprises you. And you realize that the only way that we're going to be steadied is by leaning upon him. But I think I say something now that everyone here will agree with, that very often it is our line of thought that affects how we live. Over in Isaiah chapter 26, it says there in verse 3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stead on thee, because he trusteth in thee." There's much attack upon the Christian's mind today, not just through what can be spewed out of media, but also when you see what is happening and you feel helpless when legislation is passed that is an abomination, and all around us you feel as you're just a spectator that can't really do anything, and that can have a very negative effect upon God's people. But it says here, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stead on thee." And the word "stead" there in the original, it's the same word we looked at in Psalm 119, the word samach, "hold thou me up." So "thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is held up by the Lord." And we've all been there, and we can think of some of our friends and struggling a lot at the present time, just for steadiness in their walk with the Lord. And maybe there's someone listening and you feel you're on slippery ground. And in this spiritual battle that you must be in, if you are a believer, you feel that you're vulnerable. And one thing we don't want to do is to overestimate ourselves. But the other thing we don't want to do is we don't want to limit him. We don't want to limit the Lord at all. And I trust today that as you seek to progress with him, that you will be able to do so steadily. And that you will get his steadying arm. And for your friends who perhaps you think, well, they need this steadying, pray for them. Pray, Lord, be thou their arm every morning. We can offer that prayer and ask to get God's steadying arm as we seek to go on with him. But we need to get God's arm, secondly, in specific tasks. The Bible says, whatsoever thine hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. But whatever we go to do, and I have found this, we sense our own frailty in what we're doing. In Isaiah chapter 12, and as I'm turning to that, I should add that in any congregation, there are those with different responsibilities. Some are spiritual oversight, the elders, others the deacons with the material welfare of the church, and Sabbath school teachers, whatever the case might be, all vitally important. People who open the church, people who clean the church. All of these things are vitally important. Well, over there in Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 2, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. Where it says there is my strength, in the original writing here, it's in the present tense. It's right now. Our human nature being what it is sometimes has us think, well, maybe sometime. Or when I'm feeling that I can do it a little bit better, maybe then. Or if things change, the general spiritual climate in the country change, then I would be able to do it and I would know the Lord's strength. Well, that's not what it says here. The Lord Jehovah is my strength. It's in the present tense right now. It's constant assistance just where you are in your specific task. And even though they are dark and difficult days right now, we would never discourage anyone from doing what you can for the Lord and from seeking to get involved in serving the Lord. And from, even though you perhaps can't see yourself able to do particular things, seek the Lord about it. And if he opens that door for you to get on with it, maybe you're discouraged. Remember Gideon. I sometimes think of him in Judges chapter 6, where he was down there. He was threshing wheat by the wine press. Wheat was usually threshed in a threshing floor, but he was in a little hollow out in the rock where they pressed grapes, and he was there, but he was doing something. He was hiding it from the Midianites who had come and wrought havoc among the Israelites. I'm sure you're familiar with the story. But the Lord came along, and it says there in verse 12, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Now, to Gideon at that particular moment, that would have sounded like mocking or like being sarcastic, because the state of mind that Gideon was in at that time is described in the next verse. It says, and Gideon said unto the Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all the miracles that our fathers told us of? If, why, and where are Gideon's vocabulary. And the Lord's just told him that he's a brave man, he's a mighty man of valor. And we find Gideon in verse 13, and I use the word carefully, but he's bitter. And he's not in a good state. But the Lord didn't just turn and walk away from him. It says in verse 14 that the Lord looked upon him. The Lord already looked upon him. Do you remember when the Lord looked upon Peter? after Peter's denial that made the difference. It meant to look with great love and affection, and in a way that would affect Peter. And it affected Gideon here. It says, and the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might. And then it says at the end of that verse 14, have not I sent thee? And that would make all the difference. So we have Gideon, discouraged, in despair, can't see any way forward for him and the people. And when the Lord says, you're a mighty man of valor, right away he's on the defensive. Where's the indication of God's favor? I don't see it. But if you go right over to verse 34 of this chapter, we have a different Gideon. It says there, but the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet. Abiezer was gathered after him. Where it says the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, literally means that he clothed himself with Gideon. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. What was he doing? He was knowing what it was to get God's arm in the specific tasks that God had given to him. He came to this downcast man, Gideon, and he says, this is what you're going to do. In fact, even there are words that encouraged him that you should deliver Israel as one man. Amazing words to Gideon just where he was. And Christian, don't think that God has given up on you. And there's plenty of specific tasks to be done. Whatever they are, it might not be the spiritual oversight of the church. It may be somewhere where you don't seem to get any recognition at all. What difference does it make? As long as the Lord knows. And we can lean upon him for those specific tasks. Some young people here, maybe you're wondering what life holds for you and what to do the right thing. The Lord may never call you to the mission field. He may do that, but he may never. But there's so much potential with you. Maybe you work, I don't know what you do, but if you're working in a factory, in a hospital, wherever it is, specific task to do for him. But getting God's arms is all important. I want to pray for each other as you're praying, even for the young folk connected with your church. You could pray for them that they will get the Lord's arm in specific tasks. But I want to move on again and notice something else. We need to get God's arm, God's restraining arm. And when I thought of this, I was being really honest with myself and thought, well, I need to get God's restraining arm. Over there in the Psalm 119, you will see the verses there. At verse 13, keep back thy servant from presumptuous, and the word literally means proud, from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. In other words, pride's a big problem, and it's going to lead me into all kinds of difficulties, and I need the Lord to restrain me. Who hasn't? And so, sometimes the Lord has come along, and in his mercy, he has restrained us in something we were going to say. We're so glad we didn't say it. Maybe we felt justified at the time if we had said it, but we're so glad we didn't say it. The Lord restrained us. He's restrained us in what we do in action as well. He's restrained us in being overconfident in self. I mentioned Peter earlier on. Peter was sometimes quite arrogant. He was very full of himself. Impetuous. Sometimes he was talking when he would have done well to listen. But he loved the Lord. He had a hard lesson to learn, and his lesson was to do a lot with pride. And whenever Peter, before he denied the Lord, had displayed these characteristics which really needed to be changed, after that they were changed. The Lord looked upon him. Remember, he was following afar off, and the Lord looked upon him, and he got back into fellowship with the Lord. And then he gave us his two lovely epistles. They're full of graciousness, and tenderness, and brotherly kindness. And what a changed man whenever he gave us those two epistles, 1 and 2 Peter. What a blessing They have been and are to God's people still to this very day. But it was the Lord dealt with his heart, and we want to ask the Lord. I believe that after he had denied the Lord, he learned. He learned to look to the Lord to help him, to restrain him. Over there in Proverbs, I'll just turn to it with you, Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs 29 and verse 11. It says, "A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards." Peter didn't always do that, but he learned to do it. He learned to do it. And then, as I said in 1 and 2 Peter, he has such encouraging words for believers. And you can sense, here's a man now who is very gracious. He's being courteous. He is considering others. He is dealing hard with himself. And he's getting God's restraining arm. And we all need that. And I'm sure there's someone out there maybe listening today, and wherever you be during the week, you've been tried and tested, and people maybe who don't have any time for your Christianity, maybe they've pushed you quite far, and you've needed God's restraining arm. You can still have it. You can still have that restraining arm. Talking one time to a man in my way down in a different part of the country, and he had gone the way that Peter went, and I didn't know what to say to him. I didn't want to be intrusive or anything like that, but I wanted to encourage him, and I sought to do that just the best I can without in any way going to where he was now, talking about that. But again, he got back into fellowship with the Lord. And he started looking to the Lord. And looking to the Lord for his restraining arm. Remember what the Bible says? Not only the steps, but the stops of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And Peter had to stop and look. And it's good to get God's restraining arm. I have one final thought to share with you here. My trust for what we're saying is of some benefit to you. We can also get God's arm in evident favor. And that is something we want to pray for as congregations. We need the favor of God. We've learned from experience that unless things change drastically, we're never going to have the favor of a whole lot of people. You will never have their favor, and that's just how it has been and is going to be. But we must have the favor of God. And if we have the favor of God, then it will be evident. Over in Exodus chapter 15 and the verse 16, the Lord here again is seeking to encourage. We have at the very beginning of that chapter the song of Moses, and what a song it is, where they sing, it says, "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord." The two songs that are in heaven are the song of the Lamb, but the other song is the song of Moses. So this is a significant song. Their hearts are full of joy for all that the Lord has done. And then it says, concerning the Lord's dealing with those who despise them, it says, "Fear and dread shall fall upon them by the greatness of thine arm." God would make the difference. And folks, I'm sure like me, I have 7 boys, 2 of them are married now. And I don't know what the future holds, might have grandchildren sometime. I'm greatly concerned. Can't do anything, but we can pray. Pray for our families, pray for each other, that we will get God's arm. Pray that God will raise men and women up into places of influence that will get God's arm, and that God's favor will be shown right across the land. The greatness, it says here, of thy arm, they shall be as still as a stone. What a statement that is. Folks, the Lord can change things, and he can do it very quickly. And again, maybe you're looking back and you feel, well, I have regrets and I have failure. Well, I think everyone can say that. What we really need to do is leave them there and look forward as you look forward to 24 and say, well, I'm going to get the Lord's arm. And more than that, I'm going to pray for my brethren and sisters in Six Mile Cross here that they get the Lord's arm as well. And I trust as we do that, that in all our congregations will there be a note of victory and that we will know what it is to get God's arm in favor. And maybe there's someone listening this morning. I just want to close with this. And you have never known the favor of God's salvation because you haven't come yet. You love the Free Presbyterian Church, maybe. And you like to know that the Word of God is faithfully preached. But like so many of my friends across Northern Ireland who sit in our churches, you haven't come yourself. You haven't trusted Him. Maybe you feel you've seen inconsistency with us. Well, I'm the first to admit that. But you don't look to me. You need to look to Him. You need to look today and find eternal life as it's found in Christ alone. I trust the Lord will bless these few thoughts that I shared with you and bless you continually as you serve the Lord up here in County Tyrone. We're going to turn to 513 as we close. Blessed is the service of our Lord and King. Precious are the jewels we may help to bring. We stand for our closing hymn, please. Lord, we thank you for fellowship together today and friendship here. We do ask, Lord, that you continue to sustain the work here, that you would bring it forward. We ask for every individual, Lord, as indeed everywhere as we look to thee, that the Lord might provide for us Thank you for that great promise that we find in thy word. As thy days are, so shall thy strength be. And Father, we pray that that would be our continual experience. Do bless again every family. May the Lord meet every need and grant encouragement in these times. And as we leave now, Lord, go before us. We pray for unconverted family and friends. Those, Lord, who need the Saviour, we ask that even this day they might seek the Lord while he is to be found. As we leave now the building, bring us each one to our homes in safety. For we ask all these things in our Saviour's name. Amen.